Yep, we're gone.
Well, it is 7:30. I'd like to call to order this regularly scheduled meeting of the Board of Board Commissioners and the Meridian Development Corporation, August 14th, 2019. Roll call, Commissioner Mueller.
Yes, I know.
Commissioner Vlasic, here.
People are scanning that.
Commissioner Beard. Commissioner Bevan.
Our meeting has started.
Yeah, we're going through roll call. Commissioner Bevan, seriously, are you present? Commissioner Fitzgerald?
Here.
I was just going to let it go and see how long it would take you to notice.
I was running off.
We have Victor Villegas in for Todd.
Present.
And Administrator Squires.
Here.
We have a motion to confirm the agenda.
Mr. Chair, I move to approve the agenda.
I'll second. So motion by Commissioner Beard and a second by Commissioner Vlasic. Is there any discussion? If not, voice vote, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
That was unanimous. Agenda is approved. On to the consent agenda, which includes the minutes of the July 24th, 2019 regular meeting and the June 2019 Administrator's Report. Do we have a motion?
Mr. Chair.
Commissioner Bevan.
Approve the consent agenda, the minutes of the July 24th regular meeting and the June 2019 Administrator's Report.
Second.
So motion by Commissioner Bevan and a second by Commissioner Beard. Is there any discussion? I think we can just do a voice vote on this one, too. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
That was unanimous as well. On to our legislative update. Scott, would you like to join us, please?
Great. Good morning. And I think we can be pretty brief today. It's nice to have not a lot to talk about. The rules that were all pending and are still pending are, I think, for the moment, situated. There's the agencies have gone through their initial public meetings, their public comments. There were comments that were received on the property tax portions that affect urban renewal. Nothing that appears to be negative or detrimental to any of the rules that pertain specifically to urban renewal in the property tax areas. And I don't anticipate right now that we'll see a lot of problems dealing with them. So I think for now, everything's pretty comfortable. Those rules will all be back up for approval by the legislature this upcoming session. So we'll deal with them at that point. And it's hard to say of the various rules what's going to be targeted. I don't know that very much will, but we'll see. We've been involved in working with the governor's office, with their DFM staff, to every month just to stay apprised of some of the changes or any changes happening. And so I think at this point what we can do as far as NBC's involvement is just kind of go autopilot, if you will. I know in November they're going to start up the last round, or the final round of public hearings. And then obviously starting back in the session, they'll take those up. So I think what Ashley and I were talking about was just kind of take a break for the rest of the year until come back and look in November and see what the public hearings are going to entail and what's happening then. But I wouldn't anticipate very much activity. Most of the, just for your information, most of the issues arising out of the rules are dealing with Medicaid and a lot of the healthcare related items, which will continue to be ongoing. So at this point, I think the comments that Brady provided were great, well received. I don't think other agencies provided any comments, which was interesting. So we had that discussion with DFM staff. They were actually glad to see those. It gave them some context and helped them understand the relative nature of what Meridian development is actually doing. So I think for now, if you're in a good position, I don't anticipate, there's not actually anything that could happen as far as process changing. That's the update. I'm going to kind of some of the other stuff will stay, you know, kind of involved in listening and making sure that this all holds true. If anything does come up, I told Ashley I'll let her know. Just give her a heads up, but I don't expect we'll see much at this point.
Question, is there a, like, a firm deadline for the legislature to approve the rules?
They have to, Mr. Chairman, they have to approve them before they adjourn.
Okay.
So...
it could drag out the whole session.
Yes, it could drag out the whole session. Last session, it was the last day session, whenever they actually rejected the authorization, which is what got us to where we are. So every year, they have to review all the existing rules. That's history by it would never been a problem until it was. And so they have the entire time. It'll be really interesting to see what they do. I've been talking to some of the members, House leadership on this. I know the governor has been getting a lot of really good press on this issue with, you know, all the 30 or 40% of the rules that are being cut. I'm not sure that the squabble is completely cleared out. I think there's still concern about wanting to make sure that the reason we got here is because the reason we're in this situation is the House wanted to make it so that only one body had to reject or approve, and then that would be the case. So in other words, currently both bodies have to, if you're going to reject a rule, both bodies have to reject it. And so the House just wanted the House to only be able to reject a rule without the Senate. So it sounds like they're going to deal with that again, which I don't know what the outcome is going to be, but there's some real battles going on still over how that can play out. So I guess we'll see. But to answer your question, that's a really long answer.
I was hoping you'd say like January 31st or something.
Yeah. Traditionally, they've always had the rules reauthorized by, you know, early February. Because typically, they take up rules from agencies at the very beginning, even before they get into legislation, except for controversy.
Thanks, Scott.
Enjoy your break from having to worry about this for a while.
It's been
now
pretty
let's just
easy.
Do our job.
Yeah, exactly. Now you've got a window to actually get stuff done before you got to go back and fix it. Right? Mess it up. So. Okay, thanks.
Thank you. All right, on to the consideration for approval of the acknowledgement agreement pertaining to the owner participation agreement with Bright Incorporation and corresponding resolution 19-029.
Want me to try?
I have that. Mr. Chair, board members, this agreement pertains to the purchase of the Paylocity building, which is located in the 10 Mile District. The agreement that the agency has with Brighton, it's an OPA, where Brighton has undertaken the responsibility to make certain improvements. The purpose of this agreement is the purchaser for the Paylocity building wants to make sure, and this is just to confirm, that they are not responsible for making those improvements. The responsibility still stays with Brighton. Actually, it's Brighton's company, 10 Mile Crossing, Inc., and that's the purpose of this. Agreement just to clarify and to make sure that Brighton's responsible. They're still the primary developer, and it's Brighton that will be getting reimbursed from the TIF dollars once the project starts generating that money. The only other thing I see on my notes here, there is one restriction that's being lifted, which allows the purchaser of this, the new owner of the Paylocity building, to be able to get a mortgage on the property if they want to get a loan. And that's pretty much it.
Questions? Anybody from Council Villegas? If not, we're going to move on to the resolution. Would you read the title of the resolution for us, please?
Yes.
Mr.
here. Where is this thing? There
it is. It's right underneath.
Mr. Chair, this is resolution number 19-029. A resolution of the Board of Commissioners of the Urban Renewal Agency of Meridian, Idaho, approving the acknowledgement agreement between SBG 10 Mile Office Number 3 and the Meridian Development Corporation, authorizing the execution of the agreement by the chairman or vice chairman and secretary, authorizing any technical changes to the agreement, authorizing the officers and administrator to take all necessary action required to implement the agreement, and providing an effective date.
I'll make a motion that we approve resolution number 19-029 as read in by council. So motion by Commissioner Vlasic and a second by Commissioner Burns. Is there any discussion? If not, we'll do a roll call vote. Commissioner Mueller.
Aye.
Commissioner Vlasic.
Aye.
Commissioner DeBeard.
Aye.
Commissioner Bevan.
Aye.
Commissioner Burns.
Aye.
Commissioner Fitzgerald.
Didn't have anything to do with it, so thank you, though.
On to the fun stuff. Budget. consideration and possible action on the proposed FY 2019 budget amendment and public comment on proposed budget amendment and scheduling a public hearing, Ashley.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I think this is our first budget amendment that I have had since I've been administrator. We needed to account for the operating revenue, the funds that we received for Old City Hall for that purchase, and we needed to show that in the expenditures as well. So that's the only update to this budget. So it's pretty simple and streamlined. Wanted just to obviously open the discussion for today. We'll have the formal public hearing at our August 28th meeting because we have to do legal noticing, et cetera, for the state. So happy to answer any questions you might have.
I'll give the wall just a second to finish closing.
How is that money that we had for like all of one afternoon?
Like 2 hours.
Yeah. On the close. So do we actually need to do anything today? Or do we need to?
Basically, you need to make a motion to accept the draft budget amendment and to authorize the public hearing for August 28th.
Okay. All right, a motion by Commissioner Mueller and a second by Commissioner Bevan. Is there any discussion? If not, we'll go to a roll call vote. Commissioner Mueller. Commissioner Blassett.
Aye.
Commissioner DeBeard.
I will abstain.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I wasn't present.
Okay.
Commissioner Bevan.
Aye.
Commissioner Burns.
Aye.
Commissioner Fitzgerald.
I kind of feel like I should abstain too.
So we got enough for the motion carried. Yeah. All right. That one was easy. Now on to the real fun stuff. The FY 2020 budget and public comment on the proposed budget and the scheduling of public hearing action.
Way to foreshadow. Wow. I think this should be easy too. In your board packet, and it's always interesting when I send print jobs to Office Max and say, hey, can you expand this and make this a little bit bigger so it's more readable, and you never know quite what you're going to get. So it's kind of comical when I picked it up as to how large it might be. I'm a minus 10 in both eyes, so, and this even looks a little much for me, so. In your packets is the smaller version of this. This is exactly the same. And also the budget notes that go along with a lot of the line items. If the board approves, I'm just going to focus on the operating revenue and then the project expenditures. If there's questions about any other line items, you know, in between, we can certainly talk through that. But I think that's kind of the meat of the budget. So for operating revenue for the downtown district, we were pretty much spot on with our recommendations and estimates for this year. So we had estimated $1.5 million with the second revenue check, we're at $1.52 million. We'll probably receive another $5,000 to $10,000 by the end of this fiscal year for late delinquencies, but I'm just going to stick to the 1.52. Based on next year's estimates and property valuations, I'm estimating a conservative $1.65 million for revenues for downtown. And again, you all know that I'm usually very conservative in recommendations for downtown. I don't want to ever put us in a situation where we don't meet expectations. For property tax revenue for the 10 Mile District, and I broke it out so you all can understand the rollover from fiscal year 18 into fiscal year 19 and kind of the thought process as to what the estimations were for this fiscal year. We had estimated a total of $390,000 for the final budget. For the revenues that have been received, it's actually $329,000, and there was a couple of reasons for this. One, when we estimated 323, it was just based on best estimation information from Ada County at that time. We were close, but we didn't quite hit that number. We received 304,000 this year, and we won't receive anything in delinquencies, is my understanding. And then when we were looking at the rollover of just around 67,000 last year, we hadn't completed our audit for that previous year, and we didn't take out the operational expenses for fiscal year 17 and 18 that we borrowed against the downtown district in order to get the new urban renewal district started. So once we took those accounting and legal fees out, it left a balance of $25,000. So we have total for this year $329,000, which will be rolled over into the fiscal year 20 because we'll probably do our first reimbursement to Brighton Corporation probably in October based on where we are in the process right now, reviewing information, and they're still working on getting us some outstanding items. So for fiscal year 20, I'm following the projections that Phil Cushlin put together when he put the district specific plan together in 2016, and it looks spot on with what the county would recommend, so $429,000 for fiscal year 20, so for a total of $759,000 in revenue with rollovers and the new anticipated revenue for fiscal year 20. Our interest earnings are for our bank accounts, our revolving line of credit. This is the $100,000 that we have with Washington Trust that we renew every year. The 713 North Main lease, obviously, that won't move forward for fiscal year 20. Grant revenues, fiscal year 18 sidewalk project, and I'll also talk about the East 3rd Street design as well. I've left those line items as we moved forward in fiscal year 19, even though there has been combination of those two line items based on council actions and allowing us to be able to take the $180,000 that was allocated for fiscal year 19 and putting that into the fiscal year 18 project. So it looks a little confusing. It looks like we've had expenditures, but it's basically all going to fiscal year 18. For fiscal year 20, we're going to probably carry over about 25% of the fiscal year 18 sidewalk project that will conclude in October. And then we have been given another $180,000 for the East 3rd Street project from CDBG. So that's being captured. Talked about the purchase of Old City Hall property being shown for fiscal year 19, and then our funding carryover, as we'll get through, you'll see that we're carrying over about $3 million into fiscal year 20 from fiscal year 19. Are there any questions at this point? And again, I did my best to try to break everything down in the notes so you can understand my thinking. Okay, well, we'll move to project expenditures then. So the first item is the owner participation reimbursement to Brighton Corporation for 10 Mile. As I'm showing, we are carrying over anything that we had envisioned for this year into the next fiscal year. I've broken down what I think will be generally the 90% of the TIF that they are eligible to be reimbursed between the fiscal year 18 and 19 rollover and fiscal year 20. So based on the math and the 90% of being able to be eligible for reimbursement, I'm anticipating around $630,000 would be eligible for reimbursement for Brighton Corporation between those 2 years. And I talked through with John Wardle of Brighton Corporation, let him know my thinking, and he doesn't seem to have any concerns with that as well. 10 Mile revenues, we need to capture what is part of the 10% administration fees along with the other revenues for the non-OPA properties in the district. So based on the estimates for fiscal year 20 and the rollover for fiscal year 19, we're looking at about $129,000. So we need to capture that somewhere. So I've just created a line item in project expenditures. And that way, if there are any other projects within the 10 Mile District, for whatever reason, we have a place to go grab that those dollars from.
Mr. Chair.
Sure.
This totals the revenue that is pulled from that area. Isn't there any overhead? I mean, any operating costs that we take out?
We take it out of that 129 number.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that is,
and you'll see that in our audits, how it's broken down between administrator, legal, accounting, and audit as well, too. We just haven't broken them out separately underneath professional services, but when accounting does that, they take it out of that.
And so that is just 10% of the overall cost.
Yes. And of course, we're not going to use 10%. So that's why I need a place to capture that overage, so that way we do have the ability at the end of the day to reimburse Brighton for that when we get to that point. So like in year 15 or 16, and we can take those dollars and just close it out at that point. It's my understanding from our auditors and our accounting team. So, but we need a place to be able to track those dollars adequately as well.
So is there a breakdown on how the 129
It is based on the 10% plus the non-OPA related properties. So there's two other properties that aren't part of the OPA for Brighton Corporation. So they're generating a little bit of TIF as well. So this is best information that we have from the county at this point for estimates.
2 other parcels.
It was Shakuri and, I just lost the other property owner. And we know that Brighton has just purchased Shakuri, and so they'll be incorporating that into an OPA amendment for us, and so that will kind of take care of that property, but right now it's not included in the OPA, so we can only look at the OPA and Brighton's properties. I know it's clear as mud. It's been a really frustrating process, I think, for all of us. We never anticipated it would be quite as difficult to track, which is why the first reimbursement is taking a little bit longer. It's because trying to match up with what Brighton has and how they're building out their project along with what the county has, because they don't break it out necessarily the way that we need them to. So that's the reason why I'm just trying to capture the thinking in this and working with our accounting and legal team just to make sure everybody's feeling comfortable with the process.
So it's still left to me. Can I?
So is it essentially the you know, they're being reimbursed up to 90%?
Upset. So we're assuming for the entire 10 Mile District, there's $759,000 to work with. I'm assuming out of that $759,700 of that is for Brighton Corporation between fiscal year 18-19 and the forthcoming fiscal year 20. So out of the $700,000, Brighton is eligible for 90% of that, which is $630,000, if that makes sense.
The remainder that we have left over covers all of our fees related to managing the,
yes,
the thing. And we still
and even,
we're still going to end up with a surplus.
And you're still going to end up with a surplus. So I need a place for that surplus to live.
One question I have is, so what you said is at the end of this, if there's still a surplus, you said you can hand it over to them?
As long as it's, it doesn't, we can't over-exceed what the agreement is.
You can't over-exceed the
90%, right? Right.
So but, if there's still a surplus after we reimburse.
But if it looks like, you know, there's a gap between fiscal or the 14th year and the 16th year, and that we have enough of a surplus that would match up to that 90% and we could pay them off 2 years earlier, then we have the ability to do that rather than holding out and waiting for the next 2 years. Obviously, that'll be a decision that this agency will make at that
time. And then
time.
They will disclose the district.
Yes. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Sorry.
Thank you for hanging with me.
No, you're fine. This, like I said, this has been tough to try to figure out, and as it just gets even bigger and they keep selling off more, the challenges are selling off properties and trying to keep track of who they're selling it to and are those taxes being paid and how they're being paid, and it's going to be fun. So we're trying to get the process down now in order to try to streamline it as best as we can. Yeah, we may be earning those administration fees in a pretty big way, but we're figuring it out, and you know, we're fumbling through it a little bit, but it'll be okay. So hopefully that answers the questions at least clearly enough to understand the thinking. All right, owner participation reimbursement to Pacific Companies. So we. Out of the three properties, 703, 713, and 33 of Idaho, only 703, which was transferred to Josh, you know, obviously about a year in advance, has received or has been assessed. And so Josh has paid his assessment for this last year. And so based on the increment numbers that I've received from the county, we'll probably be reimbursing about $4,000 per the OPA agreement. 713 and 33 won't come online until this next year. So that's, we need to capture that. The partnership with MKA for the public parking, even though I know that they said that it probably wouldn't all be completed within this upcoming fiscal year, I just went ahead and captured it in a line item. Just to be done with it. And then if for whatever reason we need to adjust dollars, we certainly can. We have that capability. But I just wanted just to go ahead and just have it. The partnership with the Meridian City Parks Department for the downtown tree replacement, I didn't get a formal request this year, and so I reached out to the director, Steve Sitaway. We're nearing the end of this partnership, and while they don't have the specific projects picked yet for this upcoming fiscal year, he said it shouldn't be any more than $15,000. So that's the number that I placed in this line item, assuming that this board wanted to continue to finish out that partnership. The partnership with the Meridian Arts Commission regarding the downtown art wraps, this is the similar request as we've had in the last few years for $5,000. Our special projects line item, This is the dollar amount that I have at the end of the day when I allocate it to all the other projects within the project expenditures. So this year it comes to about $772,000. And again, these are for projects that we don't have a specific line item for that come up through the year that we can take out against. Pine Avenue is closed out this year. We actually came out with $125,000 based on original estimates. So we had a little bit of a, we didn't spend as much as we initially thought we would. So that's great. We still have the grant from the Association of Realtors for the alleyway project, the $2,500. I think a really good challenge would be to go to the MDBA and have them propose a project at this point, because I think there's some alleyway projects that could move forward fairly easily and quickly. So we can talk about that a little bit more and planned on doing so in the property committee next week. But that's an idea that I have, and we can vet that out a little bit further. 9 Mile floodplain, we are not in a position to be able to talk about overall cost quite yet. We received an economic analysis from FEMA as planned. We as in terms of myself, Forrest Grant, our consultant, the floodplain administrator for Meridian, and the assistant floodplain administrator, have not been able to get together just due to schedules and vacations. We're hoping to be able to do so in the next week or two, to be able to come to this board and to City Council for a recommendation. But just knowing that this is a really important project that we've been working on at least since 2011, since I've been here, trying to figure out, you know, how we're going to alleviate some of the issues that we have south of the tracks, knowing that the project will be a few million dollars most likely, even with some federal grants, there will be some significant monies that will be needed from both MDC and potentially the city if they're willing to partner with us to be able to get those properties out of the floodplain. And so I just took the liberty, based on discussions with the executive committee, and put the number of $700,000 into this line item. And certainly this can be open for discussion as well. But knowing if there's federal grants that pay up to 75%, we're looking at maybe like a $5 to $7 million project. We're still going to need a significant dollar amount for our portion of the partnership. And we can come back and revisit that if we need to. The next line item is the partnership with BRT that was requested when they were talking. They gave the presentation on the fixed line bus route. They asked MDC to consider purchasing two bus shelters and some of the signage that would go along with that bus route. And that dollar amount they requested was $65,000. And based on the response of the board at that meeting, I chose to go ahead and put that into the budget. And again, we can discuss that if there's different thinking. The partnership with the city for the Main Street Market, I put $10,000 in again this year. The facade improvement program, just knowing that there are some additional projects that will likely come forth. I know I say this every single year, but I really do know that this is the case this year. I went ahead and put another $90,000 into the budget. Auditorium District, we have made a commitment of $5,000. Based on what I know to date, it looks like this would probably roll over to the beginning of the fiscal year, so I have done so. Just to clarify on the public-private partnership for 703 North Main, that was initially the original development agreement we had with Josh, which has been negated with the owner participation agreement we now have with Pacific Companies. So just wanted to clarify why that was not moved forward for fiscal year 19 or fiscal year 20. Property acquisition, based on the board direction at our last board meeting, I have put $500,000 into that line item. And as I discussed with the operating revenue, we have to show the expenditures for the fiscal year 18 sidewalk project. And again, we're moving over about 25% of the total project dollars so it can be cleared out. So it's about $100,000 that will be billed in the 1st of October. Fiscal year 19 sidewalk project for East 3rd, again, we have been granted $180,000 from the City Council again for this next program year. MDC initially had $170,000 match that we had planned for this year. I have increased that just knowing how expensive these sidewalk projects have become based on the bidding process. So I bumped up our contribution for a total of $500,000 between CDBG and MDC contributions. Union Pacific property lease. I know there's some new developments that are happening along this property, and at the time that I put this together, I just assumed that this might be I'm just assuming worst case scenario that we're moving forward with a lease, and I just kept it as that. With the property improvements, again, I made the assumption initially that we would move forward with what our plans were to go clean the property, to put some parking in. Even if there is a development that does move forward, I do foresee and actually received an email last night making a request that we would assist with the cleaning up of the property as planned. And so I've rolled over the $500,000 that we put into the fiscal year 19 budget and put another $1 million towards that cleanup, just knowing there's some environmental issues with the property. And just knowing what our cost estimates were from Keller & Associates 2 years ago as well. As always, we always put 8% of our estimated revenues for the downtown district into reserve, and so that's $132,000. So hopefully that's, yes.
I have a question back on the Main Street Market.
Mm-hmm.
My recollection was that we had been paying $5,000 a year, and then last year, said we'd pay 10 for that would cover two more years and then no more after that.
That's my understanding too, but I, based on a conversation I have with the parks, they were hopeful that we might contribute again and again. So I just placed it in the budget for discussion, and that's certainly something we can talk about. It doesn't obligate you to pay the $10,000 because until we actually have an agreement with the city, that those dollars aren't dedicated. So we certainly can have that discussion if you'd like to.
We can leave it there for now. Okay, with
that. Again, we can always shift dollars around.
Have that paper. Also did that too. Yeah.
Any questions, concerns? I think we know what our big projects are at this point.
The other question I had on the $703, where is that? The owner participation reimbursement to specific companies, you got $4,000, and you said that 713 and 33 Idaho won't come on until
next year.
Next year, it won't be in our fiscal 2020. Because you would think it would be, since it changed hands this year, that then they would start paying taxes.
They won't get their assessments until January.
Of when?
Next year.
Of 2020? So won't they pay in 2020?
Yes, but what I was trying to say is we won't get that revenue until the end of next
year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So there's always a gap.
Okay. So they'll pay, but we just won't receive it until after. That makes sense. Okay. Does anyone else have any questions?
A lot better than back in the day.
The process is pretty streamlined now. And we've got a few big projects. We actually have things to do, right?
Yeah.
Whereas back in the day, we were trying to figure out
what
things to do. Yeah. So that makes it a lot easier. And then the other thing, too, our revenue, what was it at our low point? Like $700,000 maybe?
Mm-hmm.
So. No, that's a pretty significant increase in revenue that's basically just from increase in value of the existing properties. It's not really new development that's adding to it. There's a little bit of that, but not a bunch. But you know, we should see with some of these other projects coming online another, you know, some more big jumps in, and a lot of that will be part of owner participation agreements that we're committed to. But it's just a good sign for things are happening in the district. Anybody else have any questions or comments on any of the stuff? So you want to do the same thing that...
So yes, Mr. Chairman, I need acceptance of the draft budget and of the operating revenue number because we have to do a legal notice that showcases what that is. And set the public hearing date for August 28th.
What is the number that needs to be published?
So $5 million. Yeah, $852,000. Yeah.
All right. So, would anyone care to make a motion?
Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Fitzgerald.
I move that we approve the draft budget as presented. presented for total revenues and available cash estimate at $5,852,072 to be published and to set the date of the August 28th hearing.
So a motion by Commissioner Fitzgerald and a second by Commissioner Vlasic. Is there any discussion? If not, we'll do a roll call vote. Commissioner Mueller?
Aye.
Commissioner Vlasic?
Aye.
Commissioner DeBeer?
Aye.
Commissioner Bevan?
Aye.
Commissioner Byrne?
Aye.
Commissioner Fitzgerald?
Aye.
And I'm an aye as well.
Ashley.
There's a lot that goes into that.
Yeah.
I like the big sheet. Yeah. Keep doing that.
Okay. Yeah. It looked a little comical when I first looked at it. I'm like, oh gosh.
That's great. That's really good. It's perfect. All right. On to Civic Block RFP updates. Ashley, you want to?
And I would certainly invite Cameron to chime in as well, too. The RFP was released last week. I know as of Friday, it was around 35-ish requests for the RFP to date. So that's great news. We have contacted all the folks on the selection committee, and we will be, we've let them know what those dates are going to be. Get that on their calendars for October for the review. There's a lot of excitement and buzz. So I've received a couple of media requests. I've made sure to be just as neutral as possible and to say as little as possible about the RFP in the sense that I don't want to influence what anyone would want to propose. You know, there's been very specific questions about, do you foresee a parking structure and will MDC own that? And, you know, just those type of questions. And I just have let them know we want to remain as open to possibilities and we don't want to influence the creative process for the development community. So, but good buzz out there. So very excited about it. Cameron, have you heard anything different or anything to add?
Mr. Chairman, Ashley, great responses so far. Compare this to the old City Hall kind of kickoff and initial response. It's been immediate. People actually have heard the buzz, are asking before it even was sent out. We're getting some really good input. So I'm excited about that. We talked about even within our community development budget, doing a little bit more promotion and advertisement nationally. Get out there. This one in particular, because of the, you know, the scope, I would call it, and you know, that incorporates the community center as well. It's a sophisticated enough project that we want to get a little bit broader reach and see what comes back from that. So, again, just really encouraged, cautiously optimistic, and looking forward to the process.
Fresh.
Give them a good 2 months to work up with that again. Mm-hmm.
Sounds good. Also, of the 30 whatever inquiries that you received that you sent out to RFP to, how many of those would you say are developers versus just individuals or whatever?
Yeah. So to clarify, it went out to 84 total. Individuals and or companies in addition to some of these other broader distributions. So, but of that 30 to 35 have responded, I would say it's always kind of hard to tell, you know, what partnerships are forming. Is it, you know, is it an architect that's responding on behalf of a development company? You know, so it's kind of hard to say, but I would say we have a good dozen that are, you know, reputable development. You know, and just to be frank, I mean, we've had these conversations kind of in the inception of this. Because of the scope of this, it's a big boy project. And so, you know, looking at what we have in the valley and, you know, the sophistication level that we're looking for, it's a number of a few folks. out, but we want to make sure we're making that few as many as we can.
Any board members have questions? None. Thank you. Keith, Ashley. Yeah. On to the Old Town Lots update, Ashley.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, the phase two environmental has been complete. We should receive the report tomorrow, has been my understanding from Pacific Companies. So we'll know that was for 703, given the fact that it's been a gas station at one point in time. They are still working on the relinquishment of the utility easements. My understanding is that that is in the hands of First Interstate Bank at this point because they have to be a signer on the, some of those relinquishments. So that just takes some time because of some, they're just a bureaucracy. So it has to go through their legal review. And I just remember what it took for us to be able to do the little sidewalk project across the street with the bank. It just takes some time. So I did ask for a revised schedule if that is necessary at this time. If we're off in any way, it's hard for me to tell based on where we are versus what is in the owner participation agreement. So Denise from Pacific Companies is working on that for me just to make sure that we have the most accurate information from a time schedule.
Will we have that back before our next meeting?
I hope so. I'm pressing for it.
Yeah. If not, we'll move on to upcoming committee meetings.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, we have our upcoming meetings. Property committee meeting will be meeting next week, so please plan on that. If you're interested in the MDBA meeting, that is for the general on the 23rd of this month. Can you answer any questions you might have?
You had mentioned, was it our first meeting in September? You're not going to be here for it?
That is correct.
So I kind of just wanted to get a feel from the other board members what everybody wanted to do. If you wanted to just cancel that meeting or reschedule it, it'd be the first one in September or whatever.
It's the 11th. It's the 11th.
What's that?
Is it?
Well,
actually, that might be three, four.
I think the biggest issue will be you'll be gone leading up to that, so getting packed, put together, and all that stuff could be a challenge. Which we figured out if we need to, if there's going to be things, but and we don't necessarily need to make a decision right now, but just kind of want to. Second meeting, or if you felt it was important to have a meeting, we could figure out a way to do it. Anyone have any thoughts on that?
Less meetings are better.
Okay. That's kind of where I'm at.
unless we get something.
Unless we have something, we have to make a decision on that. Yeah.
Mr. Chair, I guess it leaves a month between meetings, and so with projects finally.
Okay.
And we certainly could find an alternative date as well, too, other than the 11th, to make sure I am back and can pull everything together.
Okay. Well, let's maybe just kind of play it by ear for now and see what we may need to address, and if we do, we'll figure out what we need to do.
Sorry for the timing, guys, but I need to go back and see my dad.
Council's report.
Nothing to report, Mr. Chair.
Where's Todd this morning?
He is in Pocatello.
Ooh, Pocatello.
I couldn't think of a better place to go.
Gosh,
you didn't call it Dave Ryder.
Administrator's report.
Nothing further, Mr. Chairman.
Chairman's report, I don't have anything further to add. Public comment, does anyone have anything to share? If not, do we have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
Motion.
say aye.